Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Rebbe T, the Audio Devar Torah, the show where we talk a few minutes on the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep. We're here in Emor, in the heart of Leviticus, in the heart of Vayikra, sometimes difficult esoteric Parshas, but here let's see what we could find out. So we're looking at Chaf Gimel Bet. In English, these are the appointed times of Hashem, callings of holiness which you shall call in their appointed time. What about the idea of appointed time? Why repeat the phrase appointed time? Can we learn anything from this seemingly interesting phrase that's repeated? So Chabad.org picks up on this with the Hasidic masters who explain that the festivals are callings of holiness, Mikra'e Kodesh, in the sense that each is a landmark in time at which we are empowered to call forth the particular holiness or spiritual quality embedded within it. On the first Passover, for example, Hashem granted us the gift of freedom. On the first Shavuos, He gave us the Torah. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem became King of the universe. On Yom Kippur, we received the gift of tshuva, and so on and so forth. But freedom, wisdom, awe, joy, peace, and other divine gifts granted in the course of our history are constant needs of the soul. They are the spiritual nutrients that sustain her in her journey through life. Hashem embedded these qualities with the very substance of time, within the very substance of time, and set appointed times at which they can be accessed each year. When we arrive at the juncture of time where a particular spiritual quality has been embedded, we're granted the ability to access it once again. The special mitzvahs of each festival are the tools with which we call forth the holiness of the day. Eating matzah on Pesach unearths the gift of freedom. Sounding the shofar on Rosh Hashanah calls forth the quality of awe. And so on with all the appointed times of God. That comes from the Hasidic masters. And here is a great story from the Mar Yecheskel. A king was traveling through the desert, and his son, the crown prince, thirsted for water, but instead of dispatching a horseman to fetch water from the nearest town, the king ordered a well to be dug at that very spot and to mark it with a signpost. At the present time, explained the king to his son, we have the means to obtain water far more quickly and easily, but perhaps one day, many years in the future, you will again be traveling this way. Perhaps you will be alone, without the power and privilege you now enjoy. Then the well we dug today will be here to quench your thirst. Even if the sands of time have filled it, you will be able to reopen it if you remember the spot and follow the signpost we have set. This is what God did for us by establishing the festival at those points in time when He initially granted us the gift of freedom on Passover, joy on Sukkot, and so on. And that comes from the Mar Yecheskel. So the idea here is that I want to pick up on is that there are different elements in our life that give us different aspects and different feelings. Different aspects of our life, different holidays of our life bring forth different feelings and should bring for us different aspects of how we should be responding to it. Again, on Rosh Hashanah, we feel the idea that we're supposed to recognize God. We should feel the awe and the fear that Hashem is the King. He's the only King. Hashem is the one that's out there. And when we come to that time, we call it the days of awe, the feelings we're supposed to get out of it. In Yom Kippur, we're supposed to feel the awesome responsibility of tshuva, bringing back ourselves to Hashem. They say if you have a good Yom Kippur, if you have a really successful Yom Kippur, then when Yom Kippur finishes with an Ilah, you should literally feel as if a burden comes off of your shoulders. That's how you know you had a good Yom Kippur. It's as if a weight has been lifted off of your shoulders. Hashem accepted your tefillos, and Hashem was with you. He's always with us, but Hashem literally took those burdens, took those sins, took those guilt feelings, and took all those things away from you, and you feel lighter. You feel light as a feather. You feel less weighted down by all the previous sins and the previous transgressions you did of the previous year. When you come to Sukkot, Zman Simchasenu, it's our time we're happy that we got through the days of awe, we made it through, and now we're able to eat and we're able to be merry. We go into our huts outside and we feel happy. We know it's the end of the harvest season if we think about what it related to in the times of when we had Eretz Yisrael and we did all those agricultural things, and we're supposed to be happy. We take those minim, those four minim, which are supposed to represent the different aspects of ourselves, different types of Jews, the one that has full taste and smell, the one that has no taste and smell, the one that has taste but no smell, and smell but no taste. Each one represents to a different one. The Esrog has both. the lulav has neither, and then the hadassim and the ravas, I always forget which is which, but it's supposed to represent all the different Jews coming together, because that was one of the times that we were all able to be ola regel. Three times a year we're supposed to come to Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash. Even if we didn't live in Israel, we had to come three times to Israel. Israel's supposed to always be on our hearts and minds every time. Then we think about moving over to Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. When I think of Hanukkah, first of all, Hanukkah is my favorite chag, my favorite holiday of the entire year. Not just for the Jewish joke that there's no fasting and there's no worry about chametz and you don't have to go into sukkah and you don't have to worry about staying up all night and eating dairy the whole time. Literally, the lights just banish the darkness. You're in the dead of winter when Hanukkah comes. You know, winter is upon you. It's short days. It's dark days. It feels like it's never ending. It feels gloomy. It feels dark. It feels depressing. But then Hanukkah comes, the light comes, and we feel the hope. That could be the feeling we feel on Hanukkah. We feel the ability to banish the darkness. We feel the ability to feel that optimism, to feel that positivity. Winter won't be forever. There will be spring. It'll be nice weather out. And we can have those oil, and we have the dreidel, and we have the gelt, and the presents, a lot of us do. Just the menorah itself is fascinating. I find that a wonderful, uplifting week. Then we get through from there, we go to Purim. We go from Yagon LeSimcha, from Evel LeYom Tov. What a beautiful holiday, Purim. We take off our masks that we wear the whole year. We let ourselves out. We give food to each other. We give money to each other. That's also much Simcha involved in that holiday. The whole decree was annulled and was turned over. And we were given the ability to actually, you know, take the bad times and make it good. Each point in the year, we're supposed to access different feelings. We're supposed to access different emotions. And then from Purim, we go to Pesach, Zman, the time when we're Geula Seinu, you know, the Chag HaGeula, when we were redeemed. We were taken out of so many different aspects. We're grateful, we feel happy, and we feel full of gratitude to Hashem. He took us out of political slavery, emotional slavery, physical slavery, spiritual slavery, so many aspects. We were bogged down for 210 years or so in Mitzrayim. Then we come to Shavuos. We finally come Shavuos, and that's Zaman Matan Torah Seinu. We feel so happy to accept the Torah, so happy to be able to be the people, the chosen people, to try to make the world a better place, try to do our parts in Tikkun Olam. We say we have to use our abilities, our passions, and our capabilities, and our unique set of skills to make a difference in the world. Whatever you feel a passion for, a longing for, a fervor zeal, zealousness for, and a ton of alacrity for, you have to do that, because there never was someone like you. There's no one like you now presently. There's no one like you in the future. You are the only you that will ever exist. And you are the only you that has the power to accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. After 120 years, you're going to be asked, what did you do in this world? Were you the best Nasan Mordechai you could have been? That's my Hebrew name. Were you the best Yankel Shmerel you could have been? Were you the best Joe Shmo you could have been? Look what you could have done. You could have done hundreds of this. You could have done hundreds of this. You could have made all these books. You could have done all these lectures. You could have done all these podcasts. You could have made a whole response. Or you could have made a whole Shalshuta series, whatever. You have all these abilities. What are you doing with yourself? And throughout the year, we have to take what we can. We take all those abilities, those emotions, and not only talking about the holidays, but think about Shabbos. Every week I look forward to Shabbos so much. If we always have Shabbos on our minds, Shabbos never really leaves us. We say that about people who have left us physically, but if they're in our hearts and they're in our minds, they never really leave us. They're always a part of us. And Lahavdil, I feel that with Shabbos also. Shabbos, right after Shabbos ends, I always get very sad. My wife and I, we're so sad for it to leave. We like to extend Shabbos a little bit. There's also a great idea of lighting candles from the Havdalah candle. We saw from Rabbi Moshe Merrill Weiss in the Jewish press, pointed out by my mom, that it's a great way to extend the Shabbos into the week. Take a little bit of Shabbos and let it extend into your week. What do you do on Saturday night? What are you going to have for your Malava Malka, Mezonos? Take something and let it extend into your week. Let it be a little aspect of going into your week a little bit. And Shabbos, how do we keep Shabbos on our mind? We're so excited for Shabbos. Are our kids excited for Shabbos? Are we Erev Shabbos Jews, just like Shabbos Jews? I know we've talked about that before. We bring Shabbos into the week, like Hillel and Shammai, when they would see different pieces of meat, would they set it aside for Shabbos, and then they would find another one and another one, and they would always keep Shabbos on the mind. When we grocery shop, on Monday we send in an order for delivery, on Thursday we already have in mind what we want for Shabbos. We want the broccoli, we want the chicken nuggets, we want the kugel the kids love, we want our pomegranate seeds. My wife and I now have this tradition, Nether, where we literally sit down Friday night, we read our Jewish novels from Shar Press. A lot of times we get orders from art school or the like, or when we could, we took it out of the library. And when we sit down, we eat those pomegranate seeds. It's pure oneg Shabbos, and we actually feel a lack in Shabbos when we don't have those pomegranate seeds. Isn't that fascinating? A tiny idea, which we only started by accident like a few months ago when I once got them, and I'm like, you know, I always used to love pomegranate seeds. Why don't I get it for Shabbos, be a Shabbos treat? And now it came into a thing that my wife loves the pomegranate seeds, and I love the pomegranate seeds, and now we get a few containers so we could each have one and then share one. And literally the book we sit down with for oneg Shabbos does not feel the same if we don't have that. Do our kids feel that? Do all of us feel that? Do we have certain special things about Shabbos that if we don't have it, the Shabbos doesn't feel the same? Do we feel such a longing for Shabbos? Do we feel a longing for all the Moadim, for all the holidays? Does it bring us these emotions, these different feelings within us? Do we feel it? Do we contain it within us? Do we express it within us? And do we express it to others? I get things, my wife and I get things for our kids for Shabbos, also special Shabbos treats. You know, we have the Tofuti Cuties, which are the non-dairy ice cream sandwiches, and that's part of their Shabbos party. And then from a local store, we get like a allergy-friendly Danish a lot of times, also for my son that has allergies, so that he could have it. And that's like a real Shabbos party. And then if they have veggie straws or other things, that's really great. And then they have their special rolls, the allergy-friendly rolls also. And again, the special and cholent. Wow, cholent is a wonderful thing. And then Friday, if you could get kids involved, or whenever you're cooking, Wednesday, Thursday, if you could get the kids involved, get them excited about Shabbos. You bring the emotion of Shabbos, the happiness of Shabbos, the excitement of Shabbos during the week. That's a real way to get kids involved, because kids learn from what they do and not what they hear. I say this all the time. Kids need to learn from us from what we do. What are we excited about? What do we run to do? What are we involved with acts-wise? We talked about this on the lecture series also. We now have lecture, bi-weekly lecture series with Reb T every other Monday night. Bli Neder, the next one is coming up. I'm not going to tell you what the topic is yet, but it'll be, God willing, a week from Monday, hopefully May 2020-something, whatever is 2 weeks from May 4th. And we talk about this, how we have to do the acts, getting the kids involved in acts. If my son could help me get the stuff ready for cholent, my son could help me get the stuff ready for the chicken soup for Shabbos, it's really fantastic for him. Not only is it bonding, it connects him to Shabbos. This is the food that I helped Abba make. This is the food we're eating on Shabbos. This is fantastic. It's an emotional component to Shabbos. And that cholent smell fills up the whole house. We know it's Shabbos. And then when we sit with the chicken soup, we sit with the challah, we know it's Shabbos. How do we bring the emotions of the aspects involved? And if you have different treats for different holidays, on Pesach when we made matzah brei and we made matzah pizza, those things have emotional attachment. I remember growing up on matzah brei. I remember at the hotel we had these different things. We had all these things. We got these special treats. We connected to the holiday. And Shavuos, I remember having cheesecake, and now I have cheesecake with my kids. On Chanukah, I remember having the latkes and the gelt, and we connected. And they're just things. Food has an emotional attachment, can connect us to the holiday. But not even just holidays, and not even just Shabbos, but different things can give us emotional attachment. We should have different feelings connected to the things we do for Hashem anyway. When we put on that tefillin, do we still have the bridegroom days of when we first put it on, that first day when we turned 12, almost at our bar mitzvah? When we put on our tallis every day for the married folk, do we have the same excitement putting on that beautiful garment? We're wrapping ourselves in the shawl. We're connecting to Hashem. We're binding ourselves to Hashem with the tefillin and the tallis. Do we still feel that emotional connection the first time we wore it? We talked about this also on the series previously. It's very easy to have the passion, have the energy, and have the enthusiasm in the honeymoon phases and the bridegroom phases, whether marriage or kids, house, car, or anything, especially mitzvah related. But as the time goes on, as the weeks go on, as the months go on, as the years go on, it's very easy to lose that. We have to bring it back. Every time we put on the tallis, every time we put on the tefillin, every time we put on the tzitzis and the kippah, we realize we're ambassadors of Hashem. We're soldiers of Hashem. We're here to try to make a difference in the world. We're here to try to do tikkun olam, to try to bring elements to make the world a better place. So we should feel the emotional connection, the emotional attachment to the different things that let us have the mitzvahs. I'm not even talking about how we should feel connected to our spouses and our children, but that's already fundamental, core basis from the beginning. But even things we use to serve Hashem with, even when we look at the kos, even when we look at the candles, and when we set up things, it should give us that connection. When we look at the candles also, besides for serenity in Hanukkah, it's also serenity and peace in Shabbos. There's a Gemara, I believe, maybe. It's known that on Erev Shabbos, the Satan comes. The Yetzer Hara comes. It tries to mess everyone up. Whether it's Yetzer Hara for anyone that has any of their challenges in general, or whether it's Yetzer Hara against Shalom Bayis. Why are there so many fights that happen on Erev Shabbos? For some people, maybe because the Yetzer Hara is there. It's trying to mess you up. It's trying to ruin your going into Shabbos. And it's trying to trip you up. It's trying to get you all agitated and stressed out before Shabbos comes. But then the lights come. The lights are set up, and then immediately there's like a switch and like a whole boom effect of how the whole house is enveloped in peace and shalom, because the candles represent shalom bayis. The candles represent serenity. The candles represent peace. So when we have different elements of different things, and if we could keep in mind the different emotional connections, the different feelings, the different attitudes we should have to the different holidays, and how we can approach Shabbos, how we could approach the different Tashmishei Kedusha, Tashmishei Mitzvah, and Mitzvah objects, maybe then we can infuse our lives with a little more holiness, a little more Kedusha, a little more attachment, a little more excitement, a little more happiness to be involved in the things that we do every day. Then we can make ourselves better people, make our families feel happier and more service saving God in the same way, in a better way, and hopefully the whole world will be better, and we could bring Mashiach and build the third base of Mikdash speedily in our days. Join us next time as we talk the mini lecture series here on the Audio DT with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.